If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings and the love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. These shows are to embody the divine essence that is your true nature, your true calling, your true mission. So these are seminar transmissions directly from the Most Radiant One, whom we know in time and space as Jesus the Christ, for the purpose of quickening the codes of living light and living love and the living word that constitutes your true spiritual matrix of energy. Each show is highly encoded. It penetrates to the very deep DNA that constitutes your innermost landscape of consciousness. Not by my power, not by my might, not by anything that has to do with me as an instrument, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, which, when rightly attuned, we become the spokespersons of a higher order of being. We are actually living, walking ambassadors from the divine, great, 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 great central sun throne realms, which are worlds untouched by death, untouched by darkness, untouched by disease. Can you expand your awareness to realize this is just a three-day fair, this life on earth? You walk through it quietly, lovingly, carefully, but you keep on trucking. You know, you keep on moving. You're not to build a citadel here in the third dimension. You are designed to soar as a celestial, cosmic, Christed race, to open the dimensional portals to yet more lovely expansions of the divine consciousness. That's what we're here for. This particular earth really tests your strength, your fiber. It finds out what you've got inside you by crushing you and pressing you and squeezing you and twisting you in the events of your daily life. And in the midst of that, the essence that you are begins to leak out, and the incrustations of illusion begin to fall away. And you didn't have to do anything but be yourself without compromise. So tonight our topic is, are you walking in the light? Are you living an enlightened life today, right now? Do you know that you are the light? Or how would your life be different if you only identified with your divinity? You know, people identify with all sorts of things. You hear them talking and twittering and tweeting and Facebooking. And so many people seem to be identifying almost entirely with their mind, their emotional karma dramas, their ego, their relationships, their family, what their kids are doing, what other people are doing, their story, their past, their ego, their basic selves. But how very few do you hear really operating, speaking, and expressing from their divinity? You know, you ask almost anybody, who are you? And they'll give you a name and a job description. But how many people just simply say who they are without embarrassment, without doing any kind of shenanigans, just laying out, you know, I'm an embodiment of the living God. I'm walking in the light of my divine spirit. I am living according to the enlightened expansion of awareness that I have attained to date. And I keep expanding to the next level. And I keep embracing the next challenge. But by the power of the living God within me, there is nothing I cannot do. You know, how many people do you hear talking like that? Why don't you be the first one in your group to do it? What do you have to lose? They think you're nuts anyway. They'll talk behind your back anyway. You might as well give them something really good to talk about. So before I launch any more into our topic tonight, let's just do a nice attunement. Take a deep breath. And sink into your sweetness, that core essence that tends to hang around your chest. And wow, my inner gaze is filled with purple light. That is the light of the beloved, that transcendental spirit that lifts you in your higher consciousness beyond all of the finagling of these lower worlds, so you can live above it, so to speak. Kind of remotely view it. Let it do what it's going to do while you attend to the things of the kingdom of God. You know, when you live in God, everything else gets taken care of. It's only when you try to hunker down and keep your attention small and confined to human concerns that you're stressed out and have problems. You know, the sign of an insane person is a person that does the same thing all the time and expects different results. And yet we do that. We keep persisting to do the same things over and over and over and over, and then get mad at God because they don't work. But the very fact that they don't work is divine feedback that what you're doing is not working. Hello? So cozy down into that sweet purple essence in the center of your being. And breathe. Do you know that the one that breathes you is your divine spirit? It's God. It's the holy breath. Do you know that's the life that flows through your veins that you call blood? Do you know that's what keeps your light in your eyes shining forth like two headlights? Do you know that's the energy that enables you to actually act in the world? Where does all that come from? That is God in you, as you. Now I want you to find a very special place inside your heart. You will see there a door. It is the one door that does not have a knob or a latch or any way that it can be opened from without. And one stands at that proverbial door and knocks. Yes, you've seen the picture, the Christ at the door knocking. But did you ever notice there's no latch on the door? There's no doorknob. The door can only be opened from within. Ah, you might think you've already opened it. If you have, beloved, your life will be totally one of light and lightness and enlightenment because you will indeed be walking in the light. But if you're not, if that's not your experience, you just might want to open that door from within, outward, and invite the light of the world, the light who came into the world, the light that entered the world, and the world did not comprehend that light because the light was not of the world. But the light came into the world that we could see and be lifted from the world and overcome the world and walk in victory in the world while yet in the world. So if you want that, if that appeals to you, you might want to open the door and invite the light in to your heart, into your life, into your business, into your money, into your marriage, into your relationships, into your family, into your fears, into your diseases, into your doubts and hesitations. He has come to set the captives free. So if you're not free, why don't you invite him in? Take a deep breath and allow that door to open outward. And now, if you choose, invite him in. This is for you to do. It's not for me to tell you to do. And allow the light to fill you up inside, to fill your mind. And just visualize all fears and dark thoughts and dark imaginings. Suicide, depression goes now as the light of the indwelling Christ blazes through every little crevasse of your brain. It flows through all the synapses, all the neurological corridors of your consciousness. The light of the Supreme Lord flows out through your eyes, out through your ears, up through your crown chakra, out through your brow chakra, emblazoning your inner realms, so that the things that compose your dreams at night are made sweet and heavenly. As the divine light of the indwelling Christ fills you. It fills your mouth with sweet speech. It fills your throat chakra so that you can actually utter your truth without the slightest bit of shyness, inhibition, or hesitation. Feel the light go down your arms and hands and out your fingers. See it activating the two minor chakras in your palms so that those of you that are instruments of healing can lay hands on the sick and they will recover as you ask Jesus to use you as his instrument. Allow it to fill your heart. Allow it to make whole any places where you've been ravaged and abused and disappointed and rejected in love. Fill yourself up with the one who has vowed, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I came for you. I laid down my life for you. Of my own accord, I laid down my life so that you could have life eternal, so that you could be restored to your original divine heritage and inheritance. Nobody forced me to do that. I did that for you. I laid down my life, and I took back my life and lifted it up, overcoming death, so that you could have eternal life. So allow that eternal life to fill your heart, to flow through your arteries, opening clean, clear arteries in your head and in your heart and in your whole body. So that life principle that's anchored in the heart, that divine life principle that flows through your veins, is unimpeded by the things that cause us to have hardening of the arteries. When we're hard-hearted, it creates hardening of the arteries. So allow the Christ light to heal you now. Bring it down into the visceral organs now, all of the organs that support your life. See the anger going from your liver. See fear dissolving from your kidneys. See the things that are difficult for you to process and digest easily flowing through your digestive system. See the things that you need to eliminate easily being eliminated. Bring the life now down into your regeneration organs, into your sexual processes, so that you can engage in the joyful co-creation of your creative function in appropriate ways that truly bring forward the fruit of your loins in divine incarnations that are flooding the earth now and seeking to find parentage in this world at this time. Saviors are waiting to be born, avatars, great celestial kings and queens are awaiting those who have prepared a place to receive them, who are walking in enough enlightenment that they can attract these higher souls. And bring the light down into your thighs. These thighs are often the places we carry our power, often the places that form our base of energy that moves us forward in the world. Bring it down into your whole skeletal system, your joints, your legs, and your feet, which represent your understanding. And flow it out through your toes and your feet and down into the very soul of the earth, in the very center of the point of the earth that we call the soul star. And allow yourself to flow forth now as the energy rises up and comes up from the earth and comes down from the heavens, so to speak, forming that perfect symphony of the energies of the celestial, merging and bridging through you as a living conduit into the earth, so that the Father's kingdom, the Mother's kingdom, can become one. The Mother's queendom, if you will, is the material universe. The matter of the universe is the Mother. And the Father is the Spirit that quickens the Mother by penetrating her and creating new life. And you are that new life. You are the risen female and male Christ. You are the children of God. You are the children of light. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High. You are the kingdom ambassadors. Bring that light now into your auric field. Dissolving through beautiful golden and violet tinged flame any misqualified energies, anything that is not clear. And place that blessing to the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek upon the tabernacle of your life. As you touch the top of your crown chakra, and you touch your brow, and you touch your heart, and then offer with an open hand your essence into this world as an enlightened one, as one who walks in the light of illumined awareness. So, beloved, as you look at the fabric of your life, do you find a connection between who you are within and your daily, everyday goings and comings in the world? Or is there somewhat of a gap? You know, you are not designed to operate under your own steam. In fact, in a very unflattering analogy, the people of God are referred to as sheep. And sheep are extremely stupid. You never see them jumping through hoops in a circus. Do you notice sheep never fight? They're completely defenseless. They're completely dependent upon their shepherd. And we're told that there's one good shepherd appointed by the divine to shepherd the sheep of the Father. One, only one. One came in fulfillment of all the prophets, all the sages, all the rishis, all the yogas, all the do's and don'ts, all the rigid Judaic laws. One came to fulfill them all for all time, for as many as would receive that gift of grace. You know, grace is unmerited favor. You don't earn grace. Grace is simply yours by virtue of who and what you are eternally. And just because you bought into a nightmare of duality and pain and ego muck and mire doesn't mean that you lost the ability to receive grace. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't matter if you're all messed up. I mean, your job is not to unmess yourself. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to clean you up. Your job is just to receive the gift. And the gift is given without any strings attached. But there is a proper matrix of energy by which you need to enter into the way of light. And you can't crawl in by another way, because you get lost if you go by a matrix that isn't designed to deliver the goods. Most of the matrixes that we have out there in the world recycle you back into reincarnation. Do you notice? 99% of the teachings out there are involving reincarnation and karma. Not a good idea. This is the time to get off the world. Stop the world and get off. This is not the time to be planning for your future life. Why would you want to do that? Aren't you tired and busy by now? So Jesus came to set you free from reincarnation, from recycling to the astral belt of the earth, and then right back into another embodiment. So that's why you go through that doorway if you want to enter the kingdom of the higher realms, if you want to step free through grace, if you want to return to the big, quote-quote, sheepfold in the heavenly realms. There's one shepherd that's been sent that has that job definition, quote, good shepherd. So, I was asking Jesus today, I said, you know, I have a question to ask you. There are very many wonderful spiritual paths out there and wonderful teachers and wonderful teachings. Does everybody have to come through you? I mean, did you mean that metaphorically, that no one comes unto the Father save by me? I've always taught that that meant divine love. And I asked him the question, and then I sat with a pencil and paper, and he gave me very clear insight into that, which, if you ask the Lord a question and then you shut up long enough and you sit quiet enough you'll have a whole flow of clarity that will come through you, and you'll know it's the Holy Spirit because it doesn't leave any doubt in your mind when he's finished. And he said, everyone talks about opening dimensional portals. You know, it's a big thing in the New Age. Dimensional portals and stargates and such. And he said, there is a dimensional portal that opens into life eternal. And he said, I am that energy matrix within the quantum universe that is called the door. I am the door that no man can shut. I am the way, the truth, and the life eternal. And those that enter in through me shall go forth no more. In other words, I don't have to be in the playground of the prince of this world who keeps you recycling and recycling so he can play with you. That's his turn on, I guess. So Jesus said that when we come in through him, he promises you that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, he will never turn away anyone who comes to him. He will never let a single one that the Father has appointed to him to slip from his grasp. And I thought, wow, how do you know if you're, you know, one of his? And he said, it's very clear. You can tell because if you love the Father, you will love me. And if you have the Father, you will also accept and receive me. But if you do not receive me, then you don't have the Father either. Because the Father and I are one. And I have come from the Father. So if you heed me, it means that you are of the Father. And I understood that to mean that in this particular end time graduation period, that there are a certain group of souls that are ripened fruits on the tree of life. And we are being offered the opportunity through grace to open with the Lord Jesus a new, let's say, arena of creative endeavor. And there are others that, for one reason or another, are more fond of darkness than they are of light. And they are the ones that will turn from the light because the light exposes who and what they are, and they would prefer, like roaches, to hide in the crevasses and come out in the dark than to walk in the light. But those of us that are, as it were, star seed, we come from the day star, another name for the most radiant one is the day star. And so we are starlets from the day star, coming to birth the earth into a star herself, to ignite her with the spirit of the living God so that she too may throw off the incrustations of ego that have kept her a material girl. So, let me ask you some questions that might just kind of, you know, draw forth your own knowing. Are you feeling like something is missing in your life, but you don't know what? Are you concerned personally about ascending, attaining liberation? Or are you really unsure about what will happen to you and where you will go when you die? Do you lack inner peace? And do you have some sort of a sense of heaviness due to guilt or depression or shame or remorse or unworthiness or fear of the future? Do you still have doubts that there, you know, about God, if there is a God? Or if there is a sure way that you can truly know that all of this spiritual stuff is real, do you know for a fact that you're really saved? I'll tell you, when you're saved, which means restored to wholeness, there is not the slightest doubt in your mind. You know that you know that you know, and a weight that you didn't even know that you had suddenly has been lifted off your shoulders. Have you really made a personal effort to know for yourself, to find your own answers? Have you made a concerted effort to know the truth? What have you done, actually? And has it given you absolute total security and inner peace? If not, you may have missed the door. And these are still huge gaps filled with question marks, then you have not entered by the appointed door, and thus are not walking in the light. Nor are you able to sustain the level of consciousness we call enlightenment. Do you know that you can, of your own steam, walk as an enlightened being without the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know when Jesus ascended after his crucifixion and resurrection, he walked visibly on the earth in his resurrected physical body and appeared to over 500 people, most witnessed event in all of history, really. And he walked through doors and ate with his disciples and disappeared and did all sorts of interesting things. And then he said, I have to go because if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter to you. And the Comforter is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will enter you and will fill you and empower you so that the things I did you can do as well, and even greater. But first I must go to the Father. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. So when he left after 40 days that he had been on the earth, plus 10, he gave the Holy Spirit to 120 people of his followers that were waiting that day in the upper room, and filled them with his supernatural power. And the story in the Bible called the Book of Acts tells all of the miracles and the things that happened with these apostles and how it spread to all of the believers, everyone who heard the story and believed their testimony and received Jesus into their lives, were quickened with his Holy Spirit. And they were able to do these wondrous things. You can read it for yourself. And read also the Gospel of John, because it will answer all your questions about who and what and where the light is and how to walk in it. In fact, the title for tonight's show came out of the Gospel of John. It's called Walking in the Light. So briefly, the light is the life of God in you and in everyone. You are the light. But this light had to come into the world in full manifestations through a divine-human merger through Jesus, so that we could understand what it is. Because when you have a body, you kind of have to see a physical form modeling the way, otherwise you don't get it. And even though there have been supposedly 10 solar sun gods that came and enacted the so-called resurrection and crucifixion. If you study these 10, let's call them pseudo-saviors, you'll find that none of them actually physically did those things. They were kind of mythology, you know, mythological stories and tales that were kind of phantasmagorial. But none of them actually walked as a divinely empowered human being. You know, that perfect merger of Son of Man and Son of God, which is you and me and everyone. We are both Son of Man and Son of God. So none of them actually fulfill these things. And every single step in the career of Jesus and his expression was foretold at least 1,000 years before he was born. It was told in the Psalms, sung by David. It was foretold by the prophets Isaiah and Daniel. And even to the words that Jesus uttered on the cross, everything, 323 signs that Jesus of Nazareth, in all of history, was the only person to fulfill to the very last detail. So, and now that we're discovering with our computers the Bible codes, you'll find the name Jesus, my name is Jesus, I am Messiah, every so many skip references in the word sequencing, you'll find the same utterance again and again and again. So it's like the Bible goes into hyperspace, and in between the lines and behind the lines and superimposed in the dimensions beyond the written word, you will find other encoded messages. And we're beginning to find out that the Bible opens up corridors of consciousness and understanding that goes beyond the quantum universal mind that we have been utilizing, and it meets us in the point of our own enlightenment. It meets us at the point of our own understanding. So if you have a limited understanding, you get a limited access. If you have a deep, deep understanding, I found personally that you look at a line of scripture and it'll go multidimensional, just go bam, 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 and form a corridor of light. I've actually had that experience. So when the master, Joel Kuhl, the Tibetan master, said that the New Testament is the most esoteric book in, excuse me, in all of existence, I think that's what he had in mind. It's so esoteric that you really need the power of the Holy Spirit working with you, in you, and through you to enable you to understand the scriptures. You can't read it as an unbeliever. I don't believe. It just doesn't make any sense to you. I know it didn't make sense to me until I was really radically born again myself. But once you have truly walked through that energy matrix that we call the Lord, or Jesus Christ, suddenly you have that divine ability to understand for the first time the deeper teachings. And you're taught from within. You know, intuition means to be taught from within. And who teaches you from within is the Spirit of Truth itself, called the Holy Spirit or the Comforter or the... it's the one who understood we bought into duality and separation, but never, you know, let that stop him from revealing the truth to you as you walk with him and walk in the light of your own understanding, which is, again, is an unfolding process. Sometimes people, I get the impression, particularly with New Age people, that they're waiting for something to happen, something outside of them, whether it's the landing of the Confederation fleets, or it's a dimensional shift, or it's a grid shift, or it's, you know, the proverbial 2012. or they're waiting for, you know, the government to collapse and white knights to come out of the corner and save everybody. I mean, there's all these different storylines of delaying walking in the light and as an enlightened being right now, today, and not waiting for something to happen. Even many good Christians are waiting for the rapture. They're waiting somehow to be different, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, to whatever. You know, everybody's got their story spin of why they're waiting, why they're delaying, owning their divinity here and now, today. So let me ask you, were you today conscious of how you spoke to the people in your immediate environment? Were you kind? Did you treat them with respect? Were you short-tempered? Were you rude? You know, it says that the issues of our heart come out of our mouth. Whatever's in the heart comes out of the mouth at some point. So what are you depositing in your heart every day? You know, when you're living an enlightened life, it means accepting. You know, if it's just accepting the face the fact by faith, you know, faith that all the sages, all the rishis, all the gurus, Sai Baba, Jesus Christ, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, everybody says you're divine. So why don't you just accept that and then start acting out of that divinity in the affairs of your daily life? And it looks like this. These are the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. It looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, or self-discipline. So can you practice being patient, gentle, and kind in your daily life? If you can, you're living and expressing your divinity. The Holy Spirit is expressing through you. And when you've entered the door of Christ, you have a desire to be good. And even if you falter and fall a dozen times a day, just that many times do you have the faith and the willingness and the strength to get up and try again. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that power to do that. The Holy Spirit's job is sanctification. It's inner holiness that it cultivates in you. It gets that Christ that's within you and the closet within you out. Gets that closeted Christ out of the closet. Because the word Christian actually means little Christ, and it was a derogatory term that the Romans gave to the early followers of the way. But it tells exactly what we are meant to be. Little Christs. Many versions of Christ. What does Christ mean? The anointed one. We are many anointeds in a collectivity, which because of the fact we are the collective body of Christ in this world today, we are the light in the world today. We are the only means through which God's light reaches the earth. Because of that, we are doing greater things than Jesus was able to do on his own, because we have a quantum amplification because of the many of us. And we make those sacred geometric configurations that are like moving mandalas of grace that just cover the earth. Wherever we are, we network and connect, and we're all interconnected, and we're all working the works of God. So somebody asked Jesus back in the Gospel of John, how can we do the works of God? And he said, first and foremost, accept the one that he sent. Accept the one that he sent is our first duty, which is Jesus, the Christ. Now, there's a cult, but it has a door, as an energy portal, as a matrix through which we enter into the kingdom of heaven within our own innermost being. That's the door. And it's not an outer thing. It's not a church. It's not, you know, many people think that they have accepted Christ and they spend all their time in the church, but there's no transformation. There's no evidence that any of that has gotten inside them. It's all like outer ritual. And a friend of mine pointed out very humorously, you can sit in your garage all day long and it's not going to make you a car. So you can sit in a church all day long and it's not going to make you a Christian. And also, if somebody gave you a Lamborghini or a Maserati, it would be a real mega car, right? But it's sitting in your garage and you don't know how to drive it. It's not going to do you any good. So you have been filled with this mega power, this resurrection power that actually raised Jesus from the dead. You've been filled by him with his Holy Spirit, but you haven't released it until you've stepped forth in faith to use it. Many of you want to be healers. How many people have you just had the boldness to go up and say, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands on you and say a prayer? I noticed you're limping. It looks like you have some pain. You know, I've done that so many times, I've never, ever, ever had anyone that said no. Everybody likes prayer. Everybody wants prayer. That's how you activate your gifts of healing. Get out there where there's hurting people or your own body. Lay hands on them in the name of Jesus You don't have to do anything. Just put hands on them and pray in faith. That's all. You know, you pray the prayer of faith. And it says in the scriptures, when you do that, they will be healed. So why not identify with your light, your love, your divine identity, your redeemed, saved, whole self? Why not? Identify yourself in that manner when you speak. And why not just decide from now on to think before you speak? Is what I'm going to say really true about me? Does this agree with what Jesus has to say about me? Is this in agreement with what the scriptures say about me as a child of God? And if it's not, you might just want to zip it and go back and read the scriptures and read the promises and read what your inheritance is. You know, if you've been deeded a deed, which you've been deeded, which is the kingdom of heaven and everything the Father possesses, and that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you everything in his kingdom, and you don't know that you're an inheritor, that means you're living in the poorhouse, and you've got this kingdom sitting there empty, waiting for you. So go forth. Find out, what is my inheritance as a child of God? Read the Bible. When in doubt, read the Bible. Read the map for life on planet Earth. It's a map. It's a diagram. It's a detailed guide and manual on how to drive that super-duper Lamborghini that's sitting in your garage that you just look at and don't know what to do with it. Do you know the power of the living God lives in you and is just waiting to source through you? And the sign that you're operating in the full garment of light is that miracle signs and wonders accompany you. Miracle signs and wonders, what does that mean? It means things happen in people's life when you're speaking truth. Lives are transformed. Lives are made better. Everything is better because you pass through there as an emissary of the divine throne realms. As someone like Jesus, who is not of this world, who is a gift of grace in this world. But just like Jesus, this is not our home. We have a kingdom in which we co-rule and co-reign right now, seated in heavenly places with Christ. It said in the scriptures that we will actually be the ones that will pass judgment on where the angels go and where these different beings go as they pass through before us in review. In other words, we'll have to ascertain the light quotient so that they can be appropriately placed in the dimensions to which we are all being issued forth. We can't hang out on this earth anymore. It's become obsolete as a school of consciousness. It has to be closed down and reopened later with a new curriculum. Well, it'll be a while, maybe 3 billion years, but that's nothing to God. And in the meantime, we've been on this merry-go-round for maybe that long, who knows? So it's time to get off. It's time to go through the door. It's time to walk in the light, which has a way of keeping you in the world, but not of it. You're just on a vibration out of the karma drama of most people's little miseries that they walk through and call a life. You actually live kind of unconscious of all that stuff that's going on. And believe it or not, you're living your enlightenment, and walking in the light of your truth is the kindest, most beneficent, compassionate, praiseworthy and enlightening and serviceful thing that you could possibly do with your life. But, you know, the world actually doesn't need fixing. It just needs to drop its belief in itself. It needs to walk through the door out of this labyrinth of misqualified identification and energy that we call the third dimensional world. It will actually just kind of dissolve like vapor before the sun as you walk as an enlightened being. You just part those waters like Moses did. You just walk right through and you know, the world has to make way for you because, you know, truth has no opposition. Truth stands on its own. It doesn't need any defense. It just simply is. So you never have to worry. When you walk in the truth of who you truly are, everything else has to come into alignment with that, or it has to depart from your space. Because truth will rule and reign, and he will not keep company with darkness, just will not countenance the foolishness of the world. So, I think that gives you some really clear directives on how to begin to live your life more in identifying with your strength, your purity, your holiness, your infinite wisdom. Do you know that there is nothing that you cannot know if you need to know it? Nothing. Nothing is denied you if you have a need for that to be revealed to you. It says again in the scriptures in Jeremiah, I think it's 33:3, "Call upon me, says the Lord, and I will show you great and wondrous things that you know not of." So anything that we want to know, if we call upon the Lord, and I've got to tell you this story. George Washington Carver, you remember him. He was a black man who was a slave in the South, and I guess he was a crop tender. And he picked peanuts. And he was a great Christian, and he read the Bible every day, and he prayed God. He said, "Please reveal to me the secrets of the universe." And God spoke into his mind and said, "That's too big for you. I can't reveal the secrets of the universe to you. That would not do any good. But I can reveal the secrets of the peanut." And so George Washington Carver went on to, I don't know how many inventions he created out of the peanut, the lowly peanut. More inventions came from the peanut, from George Washington Carver and what the Father had revealed to him, than anyone else in all of history. So when you ask, like I asked today about what is this, you know, it says in the Bible there's one name given man, only one name by which man may be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. I asked him about that, and he said that the name was an energetic signature, that the door was his matrix of energy. And then I got to thinking about how when you meditate, you visualize the form of the master, and then at some point you merge with the master, and then at some point the master becomes a doorway, and you have to pierce and go through the form of the master into the essence of the master. And, you know, in basic Hindu meditation, you're taught to do that. So think of it that way. Think of him as a doorway. The form is like a doorway, an energy field that you move into, become one with, and through as you merge with that higher principle, which we call the Father or the Atma or the Divine Spirit or the I Am that I Am. So, gosh, an hour goes so fast. I'm always amazed. I hope this has been helpful to you. And it's a topic I love very much to speak about because it truly will set you free when you understand who you are as a divine Christed being and how to walk in the light of your own Christship and in the Lordship of the Lord who set the template of the Christ. So let's chant his wonderful name. Let's chant it in Sanskrit. And in Sanskrit, it is Isa Nat. Nat means Lord. Deep breath. Isa Nat. Isa Nat. Isa Nat. Adonai, beloveds. God bless you.